For this week's Peace Bucket, we're joined by Matt Weinstein, who's one of the organizers for Brooklyn for Peace. I happen to be going to be in Brooklyn this weekend, and I had noticed that they were doing a vigil at the Prospect Park Arch on Saturday at 11 a.m. So I thought I'd ask Matt, you know, why has Brooklyn for Peace decided to hold this vigil, particularly about the recent vote for another $40 billion for the defense of Ukraine that Congress is going to be sending over?
Well, today I'm speaking as a member of Brooklyn for Peace. And by the way, you can check out our website at brooklynpeace.org, brooklynpeace.org. And I'm representing their position. And I make that qualification because there are obviously lots of divisions right now, just when we need a very united and powerful peace movement. This issue has resulted in very regrettable and unfortunate splits in the progressive movement because it's a complicated issue. You know, on the one hand, there are a small amount of number of progressives who espouse the idea that Russia is fully justified in launching this, they probably don't refer to it as a war, an action in Ukraine because of provocations by NATO and US and so on and so forth. Then there are then those in the peace movement and progressive movement who also say that, yes, Russia is to be condemned, but those of us on the left should not engage in what they refer to. Also comes out of right out of the establishment vocabulary, whataboutism, meaning they don't want to discuss context and history of U.S. actions. That's verboten. It should only be a question of the invasion by Russia, which is illegal and criminal, and they don't want context and history to be discussed. In that sense, I personally believe, and I think that the majority of our organization agrees, that they have perhaps fallen victim to this narrative that has bombarded the airwaves and the press releases from our own government, that, you know, there is nothing else to be discussed here, nothing else to be seen here. In that sense, I think it also excuses the United States and almost apologizes for it, which is pictured in that narrative as some innocent bystander and a defender of democracy worldwide, which is a picture, as most of us will probably agree, or many of us will agree, is just not, it does not comport with reality. It also allows our people to be misled by that narrative. And I think that that's inexcusable. So Brooklyn for Peace's position, and I would say a large, section of the peace movement, including organizations like Peace Action, which is probably the largest national peace group, and Code Pink, which has been out front on this, is yes, we fully condemn the illegal war that was launched by Russia. We condemn it because it's a violation of sovereignty of an independent nation, and it has resulted in catastrophic harm to Ukraine and Ukrainians, has created millions of refugees. But at the same time, we won't engage in this, what I like to call forget about it-ism. They say we are engaging in what about it-ism. I say that they are engaging in forget about it-ism. The examples of US violations over the decades. I mean, for crying out loud, we have just exited 20 years of a brutal, destructive war and occupation in Afghanistan, with the New York Times itself, one of the great apologists for US foreign policy, talked about tens of thousands of Afghans attempting to flee a what they called a frozen hell. Well, who created that frozen hell is the question that we have to ask.
And, well, one of the things that you're focusing upon at the vigil is that, you know, recently Congress actually gave more money, tens of billions of dollars, to, you know, arm the Ukraine. many of the people would rather, you know, silent about that. Some people argue, well, you know, Ukraine is illegally invaded. They have a right to self-defense. Why shouldn't, you know, the United States help arm them to fight back against the Russians? Brooklyn for Peace doesn't think that's a good move. Why not?
Well, because we've been fighting the question of money for human needs, not endless wars, for years and years. We've been one of the major forces in Brooklyn that has visited our representatives in Congress, demanding and urging them to vote against the bloated Pentagon budget. So when you say don't discuss context and history, when President Biden, who just oversaw the passing in the Senate and the House by Democrats and Republicans alike, with a handful of progressive Democrats voting against it, a $778 billion war budget that goes to the Pentagon, but also goes into the coffers of the merchants of death, you know, Raytheon and General Dynamics and General Electric, so on and so forth, those who profit enormously off of the production of weapons. And by the way, take a look aside at the stock market, which has been plummeting, but not the stocks of Raytheon, whose CEO candidly admitted that this, before the invasion, that this conflict looks good for our bottom line, quote unquote. I mean, what a horrible thing to say, but he was candid about it, and it's very true. So there are contexts here. That $40 billion means tens of thousands of these Raytheon-produced Stinger missiles into this cauldron, this explosive cauldron in Ukraine. That will not help Ukrainians. That will prolong the war. And what we see here is a new narrative now coming out. First started with a supposed misspeaking by President Biden, which he said that Putin must be removed, calling for regime change. And he said, well, I didn't really mean that. But I think it really showed what was underlying a lot of U.S. policy there. And in recent days, this has become more and more pronounced. More weapons, more lethal weapons, which will prolong this war and lead to more deaths and more suffering by Ukrainians, not less. We say in Brooklyn for Peace that the only way to end this war is to, for our government, and we are, as Americans, we can't affect Putin and the Russian government, but we can have an effect on our government. We have to demand, we want to hear a full-throated plea from our government to end this war via diplomacy, right, not via a military solution. And they are going whole hog towards a military solution. Pelosi talks about some victory. What kind of a victory will there be? Our concern is that this will explode into a wider war, which even the New York Times says is a real, real danger. And of course, with that wider war, meaning possibly another world war, and probably the last one that this world will ever see, is our concern of nuclear conflict. You have two nuclear powers staring each other down. And now our policy seems to be to try to bring Russia to its knees. This is a stupid and backward policy that only can lead to a wider war and the possibility of a nuclear conflict. Then there's this question mark. What happened to Build Back Better? That was the program that Biden was elected on. This was to finally take on the question of existential climate destruction. This was supposed to take on the devastated economy, the cratered economy that's been left behind by this pandemic, which existed before the pandemic, but which is made, you know, exponentially worse by the pandemic. Unemployment, housing, homelessness, hunger that stalks the land of tens of millions of Americans. The healthcare system exposed as being in tattered, not taking care of hundreds of millions of Americans who need healthcare. All of these were to be addressed by Build Back Better, which you don't even hear mentioned anymore. Yeah, it languishes in Congress. Now it's all but ignored. Biden talks about, you know, drilling in the Arctic again, which will make climate change even worse. So that is why we oppose $40 billion, which is what we spent in 1 year of our own Afghan war, going into this explosive situation.
Matt, we're out of time.
Okay.
We've been talking with Matt Weinstein, Brooklyn for Peace website.
brooklynpeace.org.
Thank you very much, Matt. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.